Morning? Good morning, everyone. You know you're busy when you can't keep up. But I just thank God that we're here, and I feel a joy in my spirit today.
Amen.
Which is interesting because I thought I'd feel a sadness. It's so, and I don't know, sometimes you can mourn in the other five stages of grief. Maybe I'm in that a joy, happy, peace. But I definitely don't look as an ending or a beginning. I just look at it as this is how community operates.
Mm-hmm.
It simply evolves. And I believe we're just in a place of evolution. And so I'm grateful just to be with you for the few moments that I'm here, to be able to talk and share and be with you. So as is my tradition, if you'll join me in a short word of prayer. God, I thank you for a church called Pathways. I thank you for a church called Eighth Day. Lord, look upon this community and look upon this service and provide your spirit in such a way that it will illuminate a path longer and wider to a destiny that maybe we haven't even figured it out yet. But we just believe that if we trust you and believe you, that this community will grow stronger and stronger, and it will do what it is you have called it to do. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And I'd like to use some lectionary texts, concentrate a little bit on the gospel part of it. And just for title's sake, I'd like to call this sermon When Transition Educates Sacrifice. When Transition Educates Sacrifice.
Well.
All right. I don't know if you'll agree with me or not, but I'm going to go ahead anyway. I believe that crisis and transition is the litmus test for integrity and community. I believe that. And the reason I say that is because if I'm a member of your community and I fall into crisis or transition, it not only affects me, but it affects all who are around me. And sometimes judgment will often enter the situation because how you handle me while I'm in transition helps me to understand where I stand with you. The difficulty in crisis is the relative nature of the understanding of the danger it can inflict based upon my own view. If I see my transition or my crisis from the window of victimization, it becomes a hopeless thing that causes me to flounder from handout to handout. But if I view it from the window of a victor, transition and crisis becomes an altar that receives my offering of power, problem solving, and empowerment that makes me a smart cookie in my own eyes. But transition and crisis, as you see, I'm somewhat using the words interchangeably for a reason, because not all transitions definitely doesn't necessarily put you in a crisis mode. But I think the feeling of it, because it's a change and it's unknown, emotionally places us into a crisis-like feeling. Comes in many forms, but the ultimate form usually comes by way of lack of resources. That's a crisis to most. Financial deprivation, that's crisis. Or poor emotional baggage or even moral decay. But the interesting thing, when you fall into crisis at that moment, it is the transition that becomes your hope into something better. It is the transition that becomes the place where you're educated to learn that maybe there's a new direction that God is calling us that is greater than the direction we were going by ourselves.
Well, amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes the simplest of the things is the GPS system that points us in the direction of better crisis management for the next crisis or the next transition. Where am I trying to go? It isn't necessarily about equal giving, but it's about equal sacrifice.
Wow.
And we'll find this in our story in Mark 12:38, where we see the guys we love to pick on, the Pharisees and the scribes. They're such an easy target. But here they are in all of their splendor, in their beautiful robes, and you know, they love to talk a good game about who they are in the synagogue, and they sit at the high places, and they pray with these beautiful, eloquent, flowy words, and you know, they bask in the flattery of the public, and they sit at the head table of every church function, and all the time. Underneath all of that pomp and circumstance, there's some exploitation of the weak and the helpless. And the longer their prayers, it seems like the worse they can get. Mm-hmm. Because I think guilt enters into the room and conviction. But Jesus says they're going to pay for it in the end.
Yes, they will.
It doesn't sound like this kind Jesus I often like, but he says that. So now he gets nosy, and he's sitting across from the offering box, and he's observing how people are tossing money into collection. Many of the rich were making real large contributions. But of course, we have this story that is so familiar to all of us. One poor widow came up and put in 2 small coins, less than a penny. And he called his disciples over to witness this teaching moment. And he tells them, said, this poor widow gave more than the collection, than all the others put together. All the others gave what they had out of their abundance.
Well, well, well.
Basically, they'll never miss it. It wasn't even a sacrifice. But if they aren't careful, it can give them power to move what was a beautiful transition of where the church was trying to go to a place to where the people with the money were forcing it to go. That's why I love the teaching of Jesus, because Jesus doesn't care if I'm rich, poor, black, white, or whatever. He just wants us to get the message, the theme of what's going on here. And he said, they'll never miss it, but she gave all that she had. And if I could take some license and interpret that a little bit, I think it's more than that. She just gave up the rent money and the mortgage money. I think it's much more than that. I think it's a metaphor for us. Are we giving all that we have in the cause that we say that we're called to do? What is it in the sacrificial part of our call that we are willing to make? It's easy to sacrifice something that doesn't hurt. Mm. But I think that's antithetical to the very definition of what a sacrifice is.
Well.
It should cause some pain. It doesn't have to cause a lot. But it should cause something in you to give up something that maybe you don't really want to give up for the common good. As he taught, Jesus told him, watch out for the teachers of the law. Watch out for them. And I don't know about you, but in most of these stories, I like to identify with the poor and the meek and the lowly. I don't want to be looked upon as a scribe or a Pharisee. And I'm not calling you scribes or Pharisees. You've got a little tense in the room. But I would submit we all have scribe or Pharisee like tendencies every now and then.
Well, well, okay.
If we aren't careful. Mm-mm. And maybe I'm not walking around in a flowing robe. But maybe the words I use can become flowery. Maybe I talk about racial reconciliation and it looks beautiful as it floats through the air. Maybe that's my flowery robe now. Or maybe I talk about justice and that's my beautiful flowing garment. But I believe Jesus is saying, when this woman gave all that she had, It means that she reached deep down inside of herself and got rid of all of the beautiful things. Basically, she began to put her actions where her faith was. And that's a hard thing to sell in this postmodern church, isn't it? It's hard to sell that, especially to two congregations who understand trying to get rid of poverty, who understand dealing with racial issues, who understand dealing with affordable housing and joblessness and mass incarceration. But maybe this passage will force us to go a little bit deeper now and search where is our places of sacrifice, that we're willing to dig a little bit harder. Where is our places of sacrifice, where maybe the sacrifice is just basically going down and mentoring someone who's never been told that they had the ability to be better than they are in life at this point? Where are the sacrifices of those who see floundering organizations fighting for sustainability and yet have the gifting to come in and lend a hand? Where's the sacrifices? Because when Jesus basically said, here's this woman who gave all that she had, it takes me right to the place of where he would give the ultimate sacrifice. Because on the cross, he gave all that he had to give. He gave his very life. And I don't take that lightly as a follower of the way. Because if he could give his life for something, I believe that I can give my life for something. That's hard teaching today. But what are you willing to die for? What are you willing to go to your grave? Is it to be able to say that I want to eradicate the ugliness of racism or the ugliness of things that I see? How far am I willing to give out of my abundance? And then after I've given out of my abundance, where it really starts to hurt a little bit, that's the place of not equal giving, but equal sacrifice that I believe this widow is demonstrating in this pericope for all of us to see today. And I'm glad that Jesus was a little nosy here, because quite frankly, if I don't have someone watching me every now and then, I am a genius in my own mind. And my way becomes the way I think it should go. But that's not how community is built, is it? Community is built through the struggle, through the arguments, through the pain, through the wrestling. Community is built to asking the hard and difficult questions. And community is going to your prayer closet and saying, I don't have an answer, but Lord, help me with this. And going back to my brother and sister. Well, if I can make it a little more personal, as we did this transition, I saw the sacredness of it from beginning to end. I saw one church with a great call in healing, giving everything that they had, and another great church down the street, growing in Church of the Savior lingo. You guys would probably be a mega church, growing out of the seams down at the Potter's house. And so what it did was, it seemed like it was crisis for us. It seemed like it was a crisis. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Why do we want to do it? And what about that Spanish church? Amen. Transition and crisis came into the room, and Jesus' nose looking into each of the treasures of our heart, figuring out what are we going to deposit out of that treasure. And so it forced us to come together. It forced us to talk. And look at what we found out in this transition. The beauty of gang members that joined the Latino church. Look at what we found out in this transition. That Pathways says that, okay, we're going to come to an end, but it's not finality. Because there's too much call in each of you. for this to be the end. It might be the end of something called pathway. But I wait with eager tiptoe anticipation as to what the next chapter is going to be. Same with Eighth Day. I don't think this is a beginning. I think this is a transition to something so mind-blowingly, has so much possibility, that if we can use this moment in time as Jesus, who is nosing, has now taken each of us from different places and placed you into the alternative gathering place called the Festival Center. The question becomes, what are we going to do with that? What are we going to do besides hold church service, which we do well? What becomes the practical amount of this transition? As I started this teaching before, I said transition in crisis is the litmus test for community. And I believe and I hope and I pray that as we come together this way with Jesus looking, that we'll be able to pass the litmus test and we'll grow beyond our feeble dreams and imaginations and grow to the impossible. Grow to the place where you begin to know that when I give through a sacred sacrifice, the reward is not just for me. The reward is not just for my community. But the reward is for those who never had a chance or an opportunity until a community came together and showed them that there's a more excellent way. And I believe Jesus was teaching that the Pharisees, through their transition, there is a more excellent way. He transitioned them from a place of avarice and greed to a place of trying to understand their spiritual formation. And through that teaching and those teachings, there were people, there were Pharisees like Nicodemus who began to go at night and begin to question things. We never hear about the radical Pharisees. We never hear about the radical scribes. We only hear about the bad apples. Well, I submit to you that this scribe, Pharisaic-like tendency, African-American male, will do everything we can to help you guys in this transition. And I know that we're going to be such a better community now because we did it. Betsy, you said it for the greater good. That stayed with me. What do I give out of myself for the better good that will bless the community and bless those beyond? God is with us in this move. And my crisis that becomes your crisis, my transition that becomes your transition, sure feels a whole lot better when I've got you and you've got me to hold each other up. Because crisis and transition alone can lead to some bad things. Yes. So as I close, I'd like to say that equal giving in and of itself cannot work. It never will work. But the sacrifice that each of us can make, we all can sacrifice something. Search your heart, search your minds. What is it I need to put into that coffer that I've never been putting into the coffer before? And how would that make all of us great? Because we're serving for that common good. That's the question I leave you with today. May God bless you as we continue to go higher in this transition and in this change. And I believe what started as crisis, how are we going to do this, will end up in victory. And we'll celebrate together and look to more calls and look to more things we can do as a community at large. And hopefully in this alternative gathering place called the Festival Center. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.